Be reading from Mark 10, picking up in verse 13, where we left off last Sunday. Just 13 through 16 this morning. Now, beloved, hear now the word of the Lord. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms, and he began blessing them, laying his hands on them. Our passage this morning comes at a very opportune time. Cheryl has recently taken over leading the nursery from Laura, who's entering her third trimester. And Cheryl asked me not too long ago, "Could you recruit nursery workers?" And I said, "I'll do you one better. I'll preach a whole sermon on the importance of nursery, really the importance of children." Now, two things stand out in our passage. The first is how much Jesus loved the little children. And these are mostly babies and very small children, as we'll see. But the second thing is how angry Jesus becomes. Mark writes, he became indignant. This is the only time in all the Gospels where this word is attributed to Christ. This is the first time he's become indignant. So let's see what provoked the Lord's anger. It starts with a very beautiful scene. He's in the house. Parents are bringing children, probably one at a time, or their children, if they have two at a time, to Jesus. He would take them in his arms, and he would put his hand on their head and bless them. It is a very beautiful scene. As I was reading this through the week, I was thinking about those few moments in life where it's just a beautiful moment. Everything is beautiful, positive, and there's always that person that ruins it. Says just the wrong critical thing when everything was going so well. The lesson today is not don't be that person, but this is exactly what happened with the disciples. So it is a very beautiful scene, and the question is, why are these parents bringing their babies to Jesus? What does it mean they want him to bless them? Well, they had seen Jesus lay his hands on people all throughout Israel for the last 3 years. If they hadn't seen it, they'd heard about it. He had healed lepers. He had healed the blind, paraplegic. He had healed a demon-possessed, the deaf. And almost all of them, he laid his hands on them. And so in their minds, if Jesus was willing to bless them this way, why wouldn't he bless my babies? Now, it's not that these babies are all sick. It's not healing they want, but they do want a blessing. Now, what this shows us is what the common people, the way they thought about Christ. The way they thought about Christ is that he was a gentle person who genuinely cared for people and all people, regardless of status or importance, and they trusted their children with them. There's very few people anymore you trust your little ones with. Well, they trusted their children with Jesus. So that's the way people thought of him. Now, what was this blessing they wanted? It wasn't healing, and it wasn't salvation. They had no concept of original sin, as if all their children needed saving. They didn't think that way. And Jesus is not saving them by laying their hands on them. He's not somehow washing away all their sins. That's not the point. You do need faith to be saved, so that's not happening here. This was a blessing for this life. This is what the parents wanted and expected, just like the healings were blessings for this life. They were given to believer and unbeliever, the blessings of healing. Now, what are these blessings for this life? Well, Paul lists them in Romans 3 and in Romans 9. If you're an Israelite, you have many blessings. You have the promises, you live in the covenant community, you have the Word of God. And it's the same idea when we baptize babies. We are not suggesting that the water washes away their sins or saves them, but it does recognize that God has given these children great blessings to grow up hearing the gospel. And so Jesus is blessing the children with these privileges to belong to the Israel community. But it is really a beautiful scene when we think of the Lord of heaven and earth has become a man, and he's taking all day, maybe, to bless each of these babies, each of these small children. The reason we know they're babies, because Luke calls them babies as he retells this story, and he can fit them in his hands. He can hold them so they're not larger or older children. So it is a beautiful scene, and it's beautiful to everybody except the disciples. Mark informs us the disciples began rebuking the parents for bringing their children to Christ. That word rebuke in the Greek is in the imperfect tense, which means they kept rebuking the parents. Children kept coming. The parents kept showing up at the door to bring their little children and babies, and the frustration kept growing as it was happening. They're really frustrated with Jesus, because he's taking all this time, but they're not going to tell Jesus that. They're going to instead try to control what's happening. Now, why are they so frustrated? Well, remember the context. We are at the end of Jesus' life. He is near Jerusalem finally. This is what they've been waiting for. They don't think he's come to die. They think he has come to rule Jerusalem and then later the world. They've been waiting 3 years to get here. They're right outside Jerusalem. They're so close. Passover is coming. It's the perfect time. And what is Jesus doing? He's hanging around little kids all day. He's wasting his time. And so if the disciples had watches back then, you can imagine them looking at their watches, growing more and more frustrated as Jesus is not doing anything. He's not going anywhere. At least the adults that were sick and poor, at least they could join his following. They had some value. But what's the point with these babies? Babies cannot do anything. And so what they're thinking is, all right, already, let's get to the action. We have a country to conquer. Why are you wasting the whole day? And so they turn to the parents and they try to stop the flow. And what they're saying is, stop bothering the teacher. He's got more important work to do. When Jesus hears what they're doing, probably outside the door, he becomes very angry. One of the angriest times in his life. You see, he's angry at the disciples, obviously, because after 3 years, they still don't get it. They've seen him ministering to the weak, to the poor, to the lowly. By now, the disciples should have gotten it. My kingdom is not like the world's kingdom. Jesus does not value importance the way the world does and the way the disciples do. And so Jesus is saying, people like these children matter in my kingdom. They're important to me. They're worth taking the time. They're important to God. So the disciples should have been filled with joy. They should have been watching and saying, what a wonderful Savior we have, taking his time for these children. But their hearts were still blinded by the world's value, their value on what is important. So note the double rebuke. This is fairly rare. Allow the children to come to me, and then do not forbid them. The double rebuke of saying the same thing is for emphasis. Jesus gives two reasons to allow the children to come to him. The first, the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. The kingdom I'm bringing includes children and people like children, people not considered great or important or so valuable to the world's way of thinking. you disciples simply want me to be around the influential, the great. But my kingdom is not focused on the great. It's focused on the least. People, by the way, like you and me here today. Now, before stating the second reason to allow the children, he begins with an oath statement. Truly I say unto you, this is an oath. This is a way to say, now listen closely to what I'm about to say. This statement is so crucial that if you don't get it, if you deny it, you cannot be in my kingdom. And so listen, and here's the statement. Whoever does not receive the kingdom like a child cannot enter it at all. Now the disciples would have thought, we're adults. How do we receive the kingdom like children? How can we become like little kids again? And especially, how can we become like babies? So what is it about babies and little children that Christ is pointing to? That he says, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to be in my kingdom, you have to be like them. Well, the one thing that stands out with babies is that they're helpless. Is that they can only receive, they cannot give. And note that Christ says his kingdom is a gift that must be received. It cannot be earned. And so how do children receive gifts? Now, if I walk up to one of you adults after church and I say, here's $50, you may appreciate it, but you may struggle a bit. And your first instinct may say, well, I haven't done anything. Why are you giving me $50? But if I came to one of your kids and I say, here's $50, what are they going to do? They're not going to say, well, can I work for it? Can I come pull weeds? They're going to grab it right away, and they're going to say, any more? That's the nature of children. You feed babies. They don't feed you back. It's the nature of babies. They receive help and love. And so Jesus says, if you want to be in my kingdom, you have to be like a child and simply receive it as a free gift. You cannot be so important that you deserve it or earn it. That's the point. And so Christ's kingdom includes forgiven sins. Christ is our Lord and Savior, eternal life. The Lord says, if you think you can earn it, if you think you're so important that you deserve it, you cannot enter it. You must receive it like a child as a free gift. B.B. Warfield wrote, he who receives the kingdom of God as a little child receives it passively. He is the pure recipient, not the earner of its blessings. So the Lord is saying, you look down on little children right now, but you actually should learn from them. Watch how they receive my love. Learn from it. This is how the gospel is received. See, if you're going to become a member of Judaism at that time, you had to commit yourself to obeying the commandments. It was called taking on the yoke of the commandments. It's all about what you would do for God and your commitment. And Jesus says, that's not the way it works in my kingdom. To enter my kingdom, you must become like a little child and simply receive my gift. Accept it as helpless. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Now the passage ends beautifully again. After rebuking the disciples, they begin to allow the parents to bring the children again. They place each child in his arms, and Jesus is loving, blessing them. He's blessing each one, laying his hands on their head one at a time. Now this passage becomes all the more beautiful that when we remember that he's about to go to the cross. You would think he would only be concerned with himself at this moment. All the pain, all the suffering is now right around the corner. And yet he's spending the day blessing little children and babies. There are five applications then from this passage for you this morning. The first is to you children. And the lesson is to see how important you are to God. that God loves you. That is what you see here. So you, no matter how young, are to pray to God when you can. God is listening. You come to worship and you sing hymns with the adult, with the adults. God is listening. The Christian faith is for you, not just for adults. You are to believe in Jesus as your Savior and trust in Him, because you see here how much He loves you and He takes time out for you. You are important in the Lord's kingdom. The second lesson is to you adults, and that is to see the importance of children to the Lord. Yes, we can handle those little noises in church. We don't mind. Now, little, right? Don't. We do have a cry room, but we do love little children. We do like when they run around. It's okay if they cannot sit perfectly still. No one is expecting that. And yes, this will be a plug for the nursery. Nursery duty is important to the Lord. Matter of fact, Jesus is sort of doing nursery duty here in the passage. But whether you serve in nursery or not, children have an important status to the Lord. And we as adults ought to remember that when we see kids around us in church. The third lesson is that babies and small children become our example of how to become Christians. You need to abandon any adult-like need to achieve, to earn, or to prove yourself worthy to be a Christian. You must allow yourself to be given salvation as a free gift. That's the only way to receive it. You need forgiveness. You need cleansing. This is not a deal you're making with God. This is not a trade-off. God, if you do this, I'll do this. You simply open your arms and receive, like Christ is loving these babies and they're receiving His love. Have you come to Christ as a little child? If you have not, please do. His arms are open. The fourth lesson is we see the heart of Christ for those considered unimportant, and we are to reflect that heart. The Lord welcomes and gives attention to those the rest of society considered not valuable or unimportant or outcasts. We are to be like Christ, to adopt His values of what's important. So when you care for those who are weak, who the world considers unimportant or not valuable, you are reflecting the heart of Christ for people. And then finally, as we close, find your assurance here. We as Christians all fail God regularly. Our salvation was not a deal we made, that we failed in our part of the bargain. Our salvation is pictured here as Christ simply taking us in His arms and blessing us with a free gift, with His blessings. That's what His kingdom is like right here in this picture. If you've trusted in Christ, you are His child, and He delights to bless you. Not because you've earned it, because we cannot, but simply like a good father, He is saying to you, I've got you here in my arms. That's where I've put you. It's a free gift. Simply receive my love. That is the kind of Savior we have. Amen.